The following podcast is part of the Gunna Geek Network. The opinions expressed may not represent other podcasts or affiliates of Gunna Geek. Check out more podcasts at GunnaGeek.com. And now get ready, because geekness starts in 3, 2, 1.
The Gunna Geek Network presents the latest installment of All Things Good and Nerdy, with your hosts, Naki.
Internet is really, really great.
For porn.
Anthony.
No pants, all bacon and dick butts.
And Chris.
So I'm going to say this as nice as I can. You go to hell, sir. You go to hell and you die.
They're here each week to talk about the latest in nerd news. And sometimes they bring a special guest host along, too.
As Magneto once said, ha ha ha, welcome to die.
I want to cut you all. I'm just going to cut you all.
Meat candy. Woohoo!
You have boobs!
So kick your feet up and relax as you take in the latest crazy episode of All Things Good and Nerdy.
Must good because we're live.
Oh, shit.
How's it feel in the shoes on the other foot?
What
I mean, what?
About?
I don't
you
know.
Always, you
I'm not even wearing shoes! I'm not.
I'm not wearing shoes or pants. Who
no
wears pants?
Pants allowed.
No pants.
No pants.
No pants. Well, now we're live. So we
and now we're live. So we're waiting for Naki's nerdy fact.
Where's Naki's fun fact?
I'm actually going to give Naki's fun fact. Okay. The differences between male and female lobsters can only be seen when they are turned on their backs. In the male lobster, the two swimmerettes, forked appendages used for swimming, nearest to the carapace, the solid shell, has hard, sharp, and bony. And in the female, the same swimmerettes are soft and feathery. The female also has a receptacle that appears as a shield wedged between the third pair of walking legs.
So during we're calling it a receptacle now.
Yes. During mating, the male deposits the sperm into this receptacle where it remains for as long as several months until the female decides to use it to fertilize her eggs as they are laid.
That's creepy.
And this has been Fun Facts with Naki on All Things Good and Nerdy.
Sounds See, about I right, though. The guys are bony, the chicks are squishy and have a receptacle. And that's about like humans.
Receptacle's my new term, I think. I'm going to use that.
Receptacle.
Yes. Let me know how that goes with your girlfriend when you're like, yeah. I would like
I don't
to
want
to
meet any chick that's using her receptacle to carry sperm around for a couple of months until she decides to use it.
Ew.
That is creepy.
Now I'm not going to use that term because it grosses me out.
There you go. You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. On that pleasant note, welcome everyone to episode 111 of the All Things Good and Nerdy podcast. This is recorded live on June 8th, 2014. Holy crap, it's 2014. It always blows my mind to think how many episodes we've done now.
I know. We've been around for a while now.
I know. That's a scary thing. I'm Chris. Joining me today, of course, we've got Anthony.
Hello.
And the one and only Naki, who brings her fun facts to the show.
Yay. I am the one and only.
I don't know any other Nakis. I know other Anthonys, so you would be the one and only.
Yeah. Fair
enough. I have met someone who calls herself Naki, but I've never met another Naki.
Did she spell it the
and
same?
She spells it different. Nope, it's N-A-K-K-I.
Then you're yes. unique.
It is just me.
I'm going to Google it and see what comes up, I think.
Some video game system stuff and a lot of Japanese names.
That's better than if you Google my name, you get a convicted murderer out of Tennessee. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Maybe you should not announce that on air that you are a convicted murderer.
I am not a convicted murderer, I'll have you know.
Are you sure?
But nice try, because it's a guy that owns a bar in Nashville, Tennessee, and funny enough, he was on Bar Rescue on Spike TV and then killed a dude like 2 months after that aired, so Spike TV had to be going, oh, shit.
Nice. If you Google me, you basically get me. I've, between Google, the Twitter, the Facebook, and the podcast, I've taken over the first page of Google when you Google my name.
So what we're learning here is if you Google yourself, you find all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah.
If you Google my real name, there's apparently a girl who is a doctor and with the same name and has done many medical things. But that's all I
nice.
Know.
Yeah, I'm fighting against a lawyer in Florida. That's making exciting. Sure nobody finds him when they Google his name. They always find me.
There you go.
There's also a poker player, I think, for me. I can't remember. I'm very confused now. Let's see. The first thing that comes up when I Google Naki is NakiLaundry.com.
Nice.
In Santa
Naki
Monica,
will get
California.
Your shorts clean.
And then there's a Facebook page to Singer Naki.
There's a singer? With
yeah.
my name?
Then there's Naki Design. Then there's some Google Plus entries from Naki. From like 2011 and 2012. There's not great. There's some interesting stuff. Better than what I get. I get a dude that kills dudes.
And this has been Google Yourself with ATGN.
Yes, it's a new bit we have. Each week we'll Google anyone who comes on the show to see what comes up, and we will give a thrilling commentary on the results.
We should do that just to fuck with people.
I'm
to show them and say, and this is what's on the first page of Google when we Googled your name.
That's how I introduced myself to somebody that is no longer mentioned, but had to do with the fanboy buzz.
Yeah.
I don't
Which
know,
is no longer at thefanboybuzz.com?
No, it is now retired.
Okay, that's weird. When I Google my name now, the first two pictures are me. The third one is from my Gunna Geek article, but it's frickin' the picture from Almost Human. And then the fourth one is Jason Trost from Wet and Reckless, or Jason Trost. And then the fifth one is actually the attorney, Anthony Bachman.
That's interesting. The first one that comes up is about country singer killing people. So, for me, it's
That's
good news.
Good.
But my picture is like the fourth one that shows up in image search behind the guy that killed people.
Nice.
Go what is me. The first picture that shows up for me in image search?
I don't know. Let's look it up. And then we'll actually do
that
the rest of the show.
That dude is a creepy killer-looking dude.
Let's see. I have no idea who any of these people are when I do an image search for Naki.
Yeah, under Naki, no images pop up at the top.
Yeah, and then if you go to image search itself, it's just odd.
Random people.
It asked me if I meant Nike.
Aww.
I'm going to call you Nike from now on.
Nike.
A draftsman in the chat room has said, if you Google my real name, you get a Spanish bullfighter that toured the U.S. between 1902 and 1927.
That's actually pretty badass. Nice.
Yeah, that's better than mine. You get a murderer with me, and Naki, you get laundry. So does that mean you're going to do my laundry, Naki, if you own that laundromat?
Well, you can pay me.
Laundry time!
Sweet. I hate doing laundry.
I actually don't mind doing laundry.
Laundry's kind of zen. It's not bad.
It's the folding of the laundry that I despise.
There's much worse chores than the laundry.
Yeah, bathrooms.
Yeah, like the dishes.
No, dishes is easy.
Well, you guys probably have that cool little gadget known as a dishwasher.
Yeah,
I have to do everything by hand.
But not everything goes in the dishwasher. I'm not going to put my frying pan in the dishwasher.
I believe everything should go in the dishwasher or I shouldn't own it.
Well, if you put a frying pan in the dishwasher, then you lose the nonstick surface, potentially.
Then they need to make better frying pans. That's all I'm saying.
Man, you got to take care of some of your stuff. And, like, your good kitchen knives, you can't put those in the dishwasher.
No, those will break.
Alton Brown taught me that, because I'm a disciple of Alton Brown, I've decided. I like to watch his cooking.
Oh, I hate that guy. The wife loves that dude.
He teaches me.
How can you hate Alton Brown?
Because he bugs me.
He's adorable.
He's
That's
wonderful.
Probably part of it. I don't know why, he just bugs me.
He's better than Guy Fieri.
When we had cable, I don't know how, but she could find that guy on cable like 24/7.
Guy Fieri reeks of douche, so there's that.
That's all I could think of. Whenever I see him, I'm like, you are the douche-pocalypse. You are the bringer
douche
of the douche-pocalypse.
Those frosted tips do kind of give him away, don't they?
Frosted tips haven't been cool since the late 90s.
Frosted tips were never cool.
No, they were cool in the late 90s, but
nope.
They weren't actually a good idea.
They
in the
may
late
have
90s.
Been accepted. They were never cool.
Touche. Touche.
You were always a douchebag if you had frosted tips. And I'm saying that saying in 2003, I think I ended up with frosted tips on accident.
How do you end up on accident with frosted tips?
I was in the military and cut my hair real short, of course, and then I dyed my hair blonde and then let it grow out for a month, and somehow I ended up with blonde tips on brown hair.
I was gonna say, did you just go into the barber shop and be like, make me look like the biggest douche possible?
No, it was after dyeing my hair blonde for Halloween, and then a month later, yeah, I looked like a fucking cactus.
I hope there's pictures of these somewhere.
There's one or two.
I mean, what?
Yeah, at a house party, I was referred to as Captain Hairdo. So yeah, that shit had to go real quick.
Well, that's nice of you, man. I'd have called you like Captain Douche. It's like the word of the day today, though.
Apparently.
See, I already posted my picture on Twitter of when I had blonde hair. So
I have seen that. It was interesting.
It was a terrible idea.
A blonde Naki, huh?
Yes, it was a terrible idea.
I never colored my hair, but that's probably because it fell out pretty quick, too, so there's that. I don't know.
Are you sad now?
Not really.
Are you sad that you're an old man?
Do you know how much easier it is to maintain your hair when you don't have much hair?
I asked boyfriend last night if I could shave my hair because, you know, my hair flies into his face when we're sleeping, and he said no.
Most girls can't pull off the bald look. It's a very small group.
I had the shaved head. I look like an alien. It was not a good choice. But I really hate having hair. But if I have short hair, I've got chunky face. So it doesn't work. So, anyways, should we do our news of the week?
Yeah, let's go into our news of the week.
News team, assemble!
Live from the ATGN studios on the internet, it's the news of the week.
I'll go.
I'll go.
That's good, because I didn't want to yet.
Apparently Naki's going first.
Does Naki have any rage to unleash this week?
No, Naki has no rage to unleash this week.
Aww.
Bring on the nerd calm.
But it was actually announced this week that Josh Trank is going to direct a standalone Star Wars film. So it has been confirmed that we will have a Star Wars standalone. It does not specify as to which Star Wars standalone, because we've talked in the past, there's been rumors of Obi-Wan or
Han Solo and Boba Fett.
Han Solo and Joel.
And Yoda. Yeah,
Boba Fett and Yoda. It hasn't been announced what the standalone will be. But Josh Trank will be the one who is directing it, and I don't know.
He did Chronicle, right?
Yeah, he did Chronicle.
I thought I heard John D, a.k.a. Nightwing, scream out in glee at some point late last week, and that was probably when this was announced, because those dudes on Legends friggin' love Chronicle.
I never saw it.
I haven't seen it either. It's on the
list.
It's one
of the best fucking flicks ever. It's Max Landis wrote it, Jonathan Landis' kid.
Okay.
Yeah, it's basically a superhero movie without superheroes, and he figured out how to make a found footage movie good.
It looked like there was too much shaky cam.
That alone.
Shaky cam bothers me.
Yeah, I can't do shaky cam.
It's part of the intro, but literally watch it because what he does with the shaky cam and makes the shaky cam basically go away, even though it's still a found footage film, is genius.
Okay. It's probably on... It'll be on Netflix eventually, I'm guessing. It was on HBO, but...
Yeah, that was one of my first Blu-ray purchases when I got my PS3. Fucking love that movie. It's super good. And Michael B. Jordan, the guy that's going to be the new Johnny Storm, it's one of his, like, breakout performances.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, is he was really good in that.
Yeah, he's great in it.
Josh Trank is also directing the new Fantastic Four, so...
Right. That's right, yeah, because they're working together on that.
Yeah, so it looks like it could be, sounds like a good idea to me from everything that I've heard about people talking about Chronicle. The only thing that bothers me about this news is I'm really worried about the oversaturation of Star Wars.
I wouldn't worry, because all the news we get is non-news at this point. We haven't gotten anything real. We just work ourselves up into a tizzy about anything Star Wars.
That's true. But it's just like...
Big photos.
Like, I'm happy there's new Star Wars coming and whatever, but I'm also just like, you know, the last time that they tried to do this, we got The Phantom Menace. So
different thing now. It's Disney, and I mean, if you've watched what they've done with Marvel, I can't believe I'm saying this. They've kind of proven that they're not going to screw with their properties.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, and let's be honest. Like I said earlier, there's been no real news. The only news we've gotten out of this is because a set photo leaks, and then she's made a response, which was brilliant. But you guys know what I'm talking about.
No.
Well, the set photo leaks or whatever were supposedly of them constructing the Millennium Falcon on set, which I haven't seen because I'm trying to go spoiler free. Well, I guess J.J. Abrams. Oh God, I gotta find the picture real quick. You go to the Bad Robot Twitter.
It was basically just like a flat platform, and then one of the side pieces where I think one of the gunners sit is right. All that was. It was like the little pod. It's on the left side of the Millennium Falcon. Was the only piece that was actually made.
Yeah, and so these photos leaked out, and everyone had a huge deal they said about them. On June 4th, there was a picture that the Bad Robot Twitter account tweeted out. For those that aren't familiar, that's J.J. Abrams' production company. That's a note from J.J. Abrams that says, "I wish people would stop leaking photos from Episode 7 and making ridiculous claims that the Millennium Falcon is in the movie." And it's signed J.J., and if you look at it, it's sitting on the Jarek table, the little holographic chessboard they play chess on in the Millennium Falcon. He posted this photo sitting on top of that chessboard, and I was like, okay, that's brilliant. So that's really the only news we've gotten is the fact that there's been some casting at the Falcons in there. And come on, we all knew the Falcon was going to be in Star Wars 7.
Well, and most of the casting we already knew, too, besides all the new kids.
Yeah, I do have one worry, though, is they were showing Mark Hamill was at Disney World this weekend, because I guess part of it was the Star Wars celebration and stuff like that they were doing there. And he showed up with a beard, and everyone's like, oh, Luke Skywalker's going to have a beard. And I was like, that's really cool, until I read on Twitter, and I can't remember who said it. Think about Episode 1 and Episode 4. The bearded guy who's the mentor figure dies. And I went,
well, yeah.
No, don't kill Luke.
Well, eventually he has to die.
No.
In this galaxy, you know, long ago and far, far away, they're all dead.
I can live with Luke. I can live with Han dying because that sort of makes sense. But you can't kill the Jedi Master, man. Don't fuck with the Jedi Master, son.
I want to see, the old man Luke running the fucking Jedi Temple, and the one true Sith arrive and attack Coruscant, and fucking they all just like 50, 100 Sith coming at Luke Skywalker to take him out. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But yeah, he's actually... Here's the promo photo they had over at Disney. I'll pull it up for you guys. He's rocking the beginnings of the beard right now, Mark Hamill. So that means he's going to die. And I'm sad. I don't want this to happen.
Nice. He definitely...
That's not confirmed.
I know.
And the upside is, look at that photo. He's the slim trim Mark Hamill.
I know. He's been dropping weight.
Yeah. Those trainers that they said they sent them must have been doing some good work, because, yeah, he'd kind of swole up there a little bit.
Yeah, I can't remember where I saw the video last night, but he was doing an interview, an on-stage thing out at Disney while he was there for the Disney celebration or whatever crap this is that's going on this weekend. And he was asked, one of his questions was, can you do the Joker telling Luke Skywalker he's his father? So exactly what he did on stage.
I saw that, but I didn't watch the video yet.
The video is brilliant. He just flips back and forth between the Joker. Luke only has one line, but he starts talking as the Joker, and then Luke's line is, no, that's impossible, just like out of Empire, and I'm like, this is fantastic. And then he went into this monologue about how he goes, Paul Dini's a great writer. He's like, I just start saying lines that he wrote for me, and I forget where they came from. Like, oh yeah, it was Paul Dini. He just works so great. And I was like, oh, Paul
Dini is a hell of a writer.
And I used this nice Batman segue, so I get into my news of the week. The fact sadly, Batman Arkham Knight, instead of coming out, and I think it was supposed to be October of this year, has been pushed back to sometime in 2015. They haven't said when. Rocksteady's marketing manager, Guy Perkins, said in an interview it was because they want to make sure they're absolutely nailing it
100%. See, it doesn't bother me.
That's the way to do it, yeah.
It doesn't bother me, but I'm bummed, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is that Rocksteady has a history of good games, so it doesn't, worry me like some game designers when they say they're pushing it back. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, plus, I'd much rather see a game get delayed and come out complete than them force it to market 6 months early, and the day after launch, oh, here's some DLC that'll cost you $5, because we didn't get that done last week when the game was going to press.
Oh, the problem with that is that's always going to be the case now with DLC. Excuse me, DLC, but is yeah. They're always going to push more stuff out afterwards.
Well, Watch Dogs
afterwards is fine. I'm talking
DLC.
The day after launch. When they do that shit, that's ridiculous.
Mass Effect 2 and 3 did it, and I bought into
exactly.
It.
Things yeah. that were supposed to be in the game that they're like, oh, hell, we'll just send it to... We'll go get the physical copies of the games made, and we'll just put this shit out the day after launch and charge people for it. That's some bullshit.
I don't like day one DLC. I think it's a scam. But,
I'm okay yeah. with it in some cases. Like, if you buy the collector's edition of some games, which is like $10 extra, in many cases, you'll get that DLC. Like, Mass Effect 2 and 3, I had the collector's edition, so the day one DLC was free for me. So I had no problem with that.
But, like, Watch Dogs...
I have a problem if the DLC alters the game, like, the story and things like that. Like, the DLC in Mass Effect 3 should have been in the game.
Yeah, see, like, when it's extras, like costumes or characters or whatever, that's fine. When it's something that's actually integral to the game and it comes out as DLC the day after launch, that's bullshit.
Yeah. I don't disagree, sir.
Neither do I.
Well, then that doesn't make for much of a conversation, damn
no.
it.
Well,
no, I thought it was weird that on day one, like when we went to purchase Watch Dogs, they're like, you have to buy the season pass because there's already a DLC, and we're just like sitting there like, what?
No, I mean, I don't buy the DLC generally on most games when they first come out. The exception being I bought the season pass for Titanfall because it's a multiplayer-only game, so you kind of have to get all the maps to get the best out of it. And the maps are fucking amazing so far.
Nice.
I love that game. But there have been some other games that were supposed to be coming out this year that got pushed to 2015. Since I'm not huge into gaming anymore, some of these I haven't heard of. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt got pushed back to February, or after an original 2014 release. A PlayStation 4 exclusive, The Order 1886, got pushed back to February as well. The Xbox One exclusive Quantum Break got pushed back. This is, for those who aren't familiar, it's a title that's supposed to mix third-person action game with time-bending powers in a live TV show that Microsoft's debuting on Xbox One, so it's supposed to mix the two somehow. It sounds almost like what they tried to do with Defiance. I don't know how well that'll work.
Another I love the one. Idea, though, that they keep trying stuff like that, trying to mix, like, multimedia between a game and a TV show, stuff like that, to where eventually we're going to get, like, I want to see a game that integrates with the show the way, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. integrated with Captain America.
That'd be fantastic.
I mean, eventually, because eventually it's going to happen. They're going to hit one that just works perfectly, and the audience loves it, and it's going to be amazing to see.
See, a couple other games got pushed back. There's a zombie game called Dying Light. It's described as an open-world parkour-inspired game. They got pushed back to 2015.
That's L-I-G-H-T, right?
Yes.
Because you said it, and I just thought L-I-T-E, like something diet. Dying Light.
Yeah, it's
a light dying game.
Let's see, Ubisoft's game The Division, that originally was debuted at E3 2013, has been pushed back to 2015 now. So who knows when that'll ever come out. Two more items I got left. Mad Max by Avalanche Studios got pushed back to 2015. It's, I believe, inspired by the movies. And then finally, Valve's Steam controller got pushed back to 2015, which is really weird looking. I don't understand what they're trying to do with the Steam controller.
I haven't seen it. Is it funky?
It's funky. It's got, like, touchpads and stuff on it for controlling it.
Oh, wait, yeah, that's right. I have seen that.
Yeah, I can pull up a picture. I've got it right here. If you're not familiar and you're watching the video, the Steam controller, basically, instead of having the four-way control button and, like, the joystick, you basically got two flat sensor pads you move your thumbs over. It's really weird.
Yeah, so no D-pad, no standard four-button configuration, but a touchpad in both spots where your thumb normally rests. But yeah, it could be cool, but I want to see the proof that controller can last through 2 years of gameplay.
I want to see how well I can actually control it. That's what would worry me.
Yeah, because it's got to be... Because to make touch sensitivity work that well for game controllers, which we know take a beating, and then make it to where it's responsive and will last... That's got to be some serious, R&D and beta testing on those controllers.
I agree, and I've kind of found that when I play, like, a touchscreen type game, if you've ever played, like, the GTA games on your iPad or your phone or whatnot, it's a touchscreen D-pad. You don't have that tactile feedback to know where your thumb is to know what's going on. It really throws me off, whereas if I play something with an Xbox controller, I know where I'm pushing the joystick to. I can feel where it is. It just is more intuitive to me. I don't know if that makes sense.
I see the difference between digital and analog versus touchscreen stuff. If you want a controller, I want a controller. I want either the D-pad or the stick. Especially, I like the PlayStation. PlayStation 3 controllers, I think, are amazing.
Yeah, I think they're really nice, too.
The joysticks on those are just fabulous. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous.
Yeah, I like the joysticks and those, but I like the shoulder buttons better on the Xbox One controller. It's really weird. Wish I could make a hybrid controller that did both.
Yeah, see, I like the triggers better on the Xbox compared to the trigger when they added triggers to the PS3.
Right.
The L2, R2 buttons. I liked them better when they were just shoulder buttons. When they tried to turn them into triggers, I hate the way those feel.
Yeah, it didn't work very well.
That's just them trying to upgrade something just to make it different so that they can say that they changed the controller and charge you another $60.
Oh, I think so. But that being said, both the PS4 and Xbox One controllers are pretty nice.
I haven't tried either one yet.
I've played with the Xbox One.
Yeah, I've used the PS4 one in store, and then I own an Xbox One, so I've used that one, and I heart it.
And right now, with spending all my time coloring and not playing games, and like having stacks of games for my PS3 that I haven't opened yet, I'm feeling very out of date for the whole console wars, where I'm not even looking at buying a PS4 or an Xbox for probably at least another year. Unless somebody, magically gets me one for Christmas, I don't think one's going to show up in this house.
Well, I don't think there's any rush. I don't think there's that must-have game for either console yet.
No, because I still got two. I want, Second Son? I think they did for PS3 as well as PS4, so.
I think so. I don't know.
I want to play Infamous 2 first. Mario Kart.
Yeah, Mario Kart looks really good. And then I know I'm going to want, Super Smash Brothers, the new one. Yeah. Because I hurt them.
Well, I mean, like, with the Mario Kart, the thing that got me was the Luigi kill stare.
Yeah, I love the Wii.
I saw those. That shit looks awesome. We might eventually want a Wii U just for Mario Kart, and then, what is it, Zombie U? When you're playing with the Wii controller, you can be the person that drops zombies onto the map. We played that at my buddy's house. That game is a fucking blast.
Yeah, I've heard it's good. I haven't played really anything on Wii U, just because there hasn't been a game I want to play yet. I don't own one.
Now they're
either,
starting to come out.
Yeah, I know.
It's the classic stuff that we all want. You know,
I'm not going to buy a Wii U just for a couple games anymore. I can't. I did that with the Wii. I played two games and then I turned around and sold it.
Ooh, yeah, that's not much for your investment.
Well, to be fair, I bought it when my Xbox was red ringed and being repaired, so I needed something to play. I was in a weak place. I needed help.
And Nintendo gotcha.
Nintendo got me
that money.
They need that. They need Video Game Addicts Anonymous or something.
I don't want to kick this habit, though. I like this habit.
Yeah, lots of people don't want to kick that habit, and nobody would go unless there was like levels and achievements, and you unlock things.
I would like a little thing over my head that just tells me achievement unlocked.
Yeah, see, that'd be cool. My text message notification actually is the achievement unlock noise on my cell phone.
Nice.
Nice.
Achievement, you've been social today. And I'm like, yes!
I think mine used to be the coin sound for Mario.
Yeah, I had that in the 1-Up at one point.
Bling!
If I don't...
The 1-Up was my Gmail. Every time I got an email, I got the 1-Up.
If I don't know you, or if I don't have you with an assigned ringtone, it's Gurr from Invader Zim screaming leprechauns every time I get a text.
Nice. Nice. All right, maybe I should hit my news of the week before we trail off into Gurr stuff.
Yeah, I think you probably should.
My news of the week is the Doctor Strange film has got some nice information coming out. Marvel Studios has reported that Scott Derrickson will direct the movie for Marvel Studios. For those that don't know, he did Deliver Us from Evil, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and Sinister. I remember The Exorcism of Emily Rose. It was pretty good, but the ending was kind of stink, but, I can blame that on the script. The movie still looked gorgeous. And, the decisions that I would see from the director in that film seemed like good decisions. Sinister was hands down probably my favorite horror film of, 2013? Just the decisions that were made and the sound editing That movie was so fucking creepy in the theater. I loved it. So to find out that he's going to do the Doctor Strange film, I'm totally stoked, because from what I've seen from the guy so far, he does really good, weird, strange films. So, pun intended. As a Doctor Strange director, I think it'll come out good. And then the new casting rumor is possibly Benedict Cumberbatch or Tom Hardy. And then there was another list on the website, which I found for just people that, Newsarama wanted to see, which there's some great ones on there. Littlefinger from Game of Thrones, Timothy Oliphant, Viggo Mortensen. Like, there's a lot of great actors that could do it, but I guess I don't know if there's any substantiation to the rumors of either Tom Hardy or Benedict Cumberbatch, but if it was between those two, who do you guys think?
I'd go with Tom Hardy.
Yeah, I was thinking Tom Hardy, personally.
So Bane or Khan?
I'd rather have Benedict Cumberbatch in Star Wars, which has been one of the rumors.
Nice.
I don't understand the fascination behind him. I don't think he's a bad actor.
I think he was a cool bad guy in Star Trek Into Darkness, so I want to see him as a bad guy in some other film. I don't want to see him as a good guy. I want to see Tom Hardy be the good guy.
That's true, yeah. Because I think, it's Benedict Cumberbatch, he's weird looking.
He can have,
I know
can
a lot of the girls dig him, but he's weird looking, but he pulls Sinister off really well. I think he'd be a great villain in a Marvel film. But I don't know if I could see him as Doctor Strange, where you'd actually care for him after his accident. And Tom Hardy, honestly, for those who haven't gone and seen some of his like early low-budget films from the UK, go watch fucking Bronson. He did the life story of a guy who spent like 80% of his life in solitary confinement in prison. And it's one of the weirdest, coolest fucking acting jobs I've ever seen. And then you compare that to Inception, and then he gains 80 pounds of muscle and does Warrior, and then he basically gets a little bit bigger, I think, and becomes Bane, and does an entire acting job as a supervillain with nothing but his eyes. No matter how much you may not like Batman or may not have liked that third film, he pulled off a fucking supervillain acting where he can't do any facial expressions. You know how fucking hard that is?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I mean, that's amazing. That was like everybody thought the one big flaw in the first Spider-Man film was you take one of the greatest faces ever and you put him inside of a green Power Ranger helmet for the Green Goblin. That made no goddamn sense. Willem Dafoe has amazing facial features. And so, nobody was really scared of the Goblin. It wasn't a great supervillain. Bane turned out to be a great supervillain, and you couldn't see his face. That is spectacular fucking acting.
Yeah, I think
Tom Hardy would be good.
Great. It was interesting because I guess it was a month or two back when I went up to Steel City Con when Jonathan Frakes was there and Brent Spiner. When we were in line, someone was asking him about Tom Hardy. They said, when you had Tom Hardy come on the set of the last Star Trek movie you guys did you guys know he was going to be that good? Didn't know he was going to mount into it. He goes, oh yeah, as soon as he came on set, we knew this kid's going to be a big deal. The kid came on, he was so nervous about everything, but we could all look at him, and we were like, this kid's got it. He's going to be really good. And look at him now, and I was like, yeah, the guy does everything, and he's really good in everything.
I don't know, it's weird too, because I'd seen him in a couple of things and didn't realize that it was all the same actor. I'd watched Bronson on Netflix. I had seen Star Trek Insurgency, whichever one it was.
Whatever the last one is. It's not Insurrection, it's...
I'd seen Inception. And then I watched Warrior, and Warrior was the first one like where I really recognized the face was Tom Hardy, but he'd gotten so damn big to play a mixed martial artist that he didn't look like anything he'd ever looked like in a movie before. And when I realized those were all the same actor, I was fucking blown away. The guy's spectacular.
And Draftsman in the chat room has also added in that Tom Hardy can rock the facial hair.
I guess I've never seen him with a beard or anything. So yeah, if you're Doctor Strange, that's... They talk about, the little things here you can change, little things there you can change in the Marvel film franchise or whatever. If Doctor Strange is not rocking a goatee, it's over. The fucking movie is done. It is bullshit.
He's
got to be rocking the facial hair, and he's got to have the gray streaks.
See, while both of those are really, interesting choices, I really liked when we were talking about it in the pre-show, you said it now, you were talking about Littlefinger being Doctor Strange. And now it's stuck in my head that I really want to see him as Doctor Strange.
Because, that article is on Newsarama.com. They did 10 casting candidates for the live-action Doctor Strange. And when you look through the list, it's basically just 10 fantastic actors. And yeah, in most of the photos that they have of them, they're wearing suits and they've got gray facial hair and they've let that gray go in their real hair. And so it's kind of giving them that older, you know, rougher gentleman look. And yeah, like Timothy Oliphant looks awesome like that. Aidan Gillen, the guy that was Littlefinger on Game of Thrones and was the mayor of Baltimore on The Wire, they have a photo of him with that little gray scruff on his face and gray hair going. I think he would be fantastic as Doctor Strange.
See, I've never seen The Wire, but I've watched Game of Thrones pretty religiously, and as Littlefinger, he's fucking amazing. So I can only imagine what he would be like as Doctor Strange. You know?
I'm seeing another rumor that just came up a few days ago for Doctor Strange. I don't know if you guys had heard this one, but Badass Digest is supposedly reporting that Marvel likes, or liked, he's not sure, he's heard both, Jared Leto for Stephen Strange.
I really like Jared Leto.
Yeah, I like Jared Leto, but God, I hope not. I don't want my Doctor Strange to look like a teenager.
He's pretty. He's really pretty.
I know. He's pretty, and that's why he looks like he's 14.
He's in his 40s. But
yeah, and he still looks 14. He doesn't look like a man.
Like, if you look at him from behind, you would wonder which
girl he is.
Yeah, like
the long hair he's got going right now.
Oh man, when he had that mohawk though, like, oh man.
He's pretty, and I've seen him. I've loved him in a lot of films. The guy's a great actor, but you have to believe that at the start of the film, Stephen Strange is old enough to be like a world-renowned brain surgeon. So he's gone through all the schooling, become the world's greatest surgeon, then goes into his accident, then goes into training, and then becomes the Sorcerer Supreme. You can't look like you're 14 years old and tell me you've been through all that shit.
But that doesn't mean they can't make him look older. I mean, it's very possible.
A little spray, a little gray in his beard. I don't know.
Yeah,
little spray, aging techniques. But I mean, if you're...
He's a great actor. I agree, but yeah, he's too pretty.
He's really pretty. I describe his...
I wanted to destroy something beautiful.
Oh, they did. They destroyed Jared Leto.
That was one of my favorite things Jared Leto ever did, was get his face mashed.
If you haven't seen Fight Club, you need to see Fight Club.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Fight Club and you don't remember what we're talking about, Jared Leto was the pretty blonde boy that gets destroyed by Ed Norton.
Okay.
Oh, and the draftsman said Tom Hardy was hilarious in Rock and Rolla, which was one of the other Guy Ritchie films. And yeah, Tom Hardy was awesome in Rock and Rolla.
Was Tom Hardy in Green Street Hooligans?
No, that's Jax from...
That's Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah,
Charlie Hunnam was the main guy in Green Street Hooligans.
I'm a big fan of Charlie Hunnam also.
Which was such a great action film that the chick who directed it got to direct a Marvel movie. I love Punisher Warzone. I don't care what anybody says. That movie was fucking fantastic.
Speaking of Marvel movies, did you hear that they're not putting a one-shot on the Captain America DVD?
Yeah, I know. I was kind of disappointed with that. They've been... I mean, the discs have been so good for buying the Blu-rays and getting little bonus films and all the, you know, little making of and commentaries and stuff, that, yeah, for them to actually come out and say, no, we're just not doing one, it's like, what the hell?
Yeah, I'm a little bummed. And I guess still on Marvel topic, Mark Ruffalo has been doing the interview rounds right now, and he was asked if he got beat up by Marvel for all of his Twitter and Instagram updates from the set of Avengers 2. He's like, all the time. He goes, but I think they're starting to catch on. Doing this stuff can't hurt. It just makes people want to see your movies more.
There you go. Yeah, what are they going to do, fire the third Hulk?
Yeah, I know. He's been tweeting pictures behind the scenes with people, him and Robert Downey Jr. and stuff like that. You know they don't care. They're probably like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then he was asked in an interview, a Twitter user recently asked him if the actor has a scene in Avengers Age of Ultron similar to the Puny God sequence, to which he said, let me put it this way. There's a Hulk surprise that is equally delightful as when he smashed the bejesus out of Loki.
Nice.
So I can't wait. This guy loves playing the role, though, so it's fun to see.
And he's good at it. Don't get me wrong. I loved Edward Norton as the Hulk, but Mark Ruffalo just kind of blew him out of the water.
Yeah, it's not... I mean, I even liked Eric Bana. Bana did a great job, and that was a cool movie in some parts. Ed Norton's was way better, and Norton's Banner just seemed to work a lot better. But yeah, Ruffalo beats both of them hands down.
I didn't think I was going. I did, like, when they announced him as the new Banner, I was like, really? Like, okay.
Yeah, I didn't see it either until I actually saw the film, and it's like, oh wow, he's like so insecure, and yep. Just like afraid of, like he looks at the world. It's like they did a. I'm trying to remember one of the old Superman shows when he goes to fight Doomsday. Superman's talking to him about how it was kind of nice to cut loose because he lives in a world filled with cardboard.
Yeah,
he spent his entire life. Was it Justice League Unlimited?
Yeah, it's when he fights Darkseid.
Or Darkseid, yeah. But yeah, he's talking about the whole world being cardboard, and that's the way I think Ruffalo pulled off the Hulk. He's standing in a room just afraid that he can destroy and kill and break anything that's within his arm's reach. If he can see it, he can destroy it. And like, so he was so timid. It was so fucking good.
Yeah, Chris Hansen in the chat room has also brought up a good point about the one-shots. He goes, when they were making the one-shots, they didn't have so many in-universe TV shows in production. So between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Agent Carter Season 1, and Daredevil / the other Netflix projects, they may not have the budget or production time.
Well, and fair enough, and I mean, they basically, all the one-shots they did led to TV shows. Because what, the first 4 or 5 one-shots were basically the start of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, and then you had the Agent Carter one that got her series.
And then the Agent Carter one is now its own TV show. So, I mean, yeah, it kind of, what, you know, do they need to keep doing them until they have a really good idea for another one?
Maybe we'll get a sneak peek of one of the Netflix projects or something like that.
Oh, I'm so waiting.
I mean, they haven't done much on it yet, so I don't know what it would be, but that'd be cool.
Yeah, because, I mean, they've only cast Daredevil, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm really stoked to see who gets to be Luke Cage. I'm mad because I don't think it's going to be Michael Jai White.
Or that.
That makes me angry. But whoever it is going to be, I want to see it. I want to see, and I want to know if they're going to have the balls to go Princess Tiara Luke Cage, or if they're going to do like the new Thug Luke Cage.
It's going to be the new Luke Cage, I'm pretty sure.
I want to see flashbacks of him in the 70s wearing a Princess Tiara and a chain belt with a big afro.
I want the afro. Let's be real here. I just want that afro.
I just want a big badass Michael Jai White and an afro running around smacking bitches and yelling "Sweet Christmas."
I still haven't watched any of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I'm wondering if I'm even going to watch the Netflix shows.
Will
you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't think they're going to be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., though. These are different shows. This is about the superheroes, not the S.H.I.E.L.D. team.
And Naki, have you watched any of the original programming on Netflix?
I've watched Orange is the New Black, which I have to watch Season 2, because apparently that's out now.
Yeah, I just came out. I'm waiting to start that myself.
I watched Arrested Development. And I was not impressed with the Arrested Development one.
Was coming back to an old product.
Right. I really liked Orange is the New Black.
Did you watch House of Cards?
That's on my list. I have not watched it yet.
Okay, so between House of Cards, Arrested Development, and Orange is the New Black, I'd say Netflix is about 2 for 3 on amazing shows. And the one that was a problem was Arrested Development because everybody wanted it to be what it used to be, which is really hard like 15 years later. But what they've done with House of Cards and Orange is the New Black, I have a feeling that what we're going to get out of the Daredevil and Luke Cage and all them, I think those are going to be the best superhero shit ever done. Because Netflix is just crazy with what they'll allow shows to do when they don't have any limitations, because they don't. It's the internet. They can do whatever the fuck they want. There's no rating. There's no time limitations. Whatever it takes to make the show good, that's what they do. So yeah, Orange is the New Black is fucking fantastic because they don't hold themselves to any of those weird limitations that you have with regular television.
That's true. I mean, it's not that. It's more like, I don't know, maybe it's kind of like a quiet protest on my end because I don't want my TV to integrate with my movies. I like them being two separate things. I like that I don't have to watch this to understand this.
Wait, so you're saying that you don't want to see Stephen Amell show up in Justice League Junior, the new Batman Superman film? Awesome.
Right, like I don't want to see that. Not that I'm going to even see Batman Superman Dawn of Justice, which is the most animated name ever to exist, but like I just don't want that.
If
you
want to
have
it.
Shows crossover, that doesn't bother me, because, like, you know, Buffy, Angel, I'm sure we're going to have Flash and Arrow
It's already happened if you've watched the trailer.
Well, yeah. The trailer, he shows up in Starling City to get to talk to Ollie again.
Right, so you know what's going to happen. Like, those make sense to me because they're on the same platform, but I don't want to have to go see a movie to understand an episode. Does that make sense? Like, yeah, I probably, like, with S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah, obviously I went and I saw Captain America because, you know, I was already planning on it, but, like, to understand something that's going to happen in Arrow, I'm not going to go see Batman Superman. Like, I still have no desire. It's not
going to
happen.
I don't think you're going to have to there.
I was going to say, so you're going with the Steven argument of, I don't want to have to watch Captain America 2 before I can watch my next episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
I love it. I mean, having to watch it immediately is kind of, you know, there's a little bit of an annoyance factor, but the idea that it's integrated, it's timed out to work perfectly storyline-wise to where they match, to me it's like reading comics. It's the way it should be. You don't have to read Captain America to know what's going on in the Avengers, but if you happen to be reading both books, you get a better story. There's nothing saying that you had to go see Captain America 2 to find out what happened to S.H.I.E.L.D. Because when you're watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you end up figuring out basically what's going on. They're getting fucked over. Bam, here comes Hydra. You don't need to know all the stuff about, you know, everything that happened in Caps to enjoy Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but if you happen to be watching both, it makes for a better story.
See, that's the thing, though, is, like, that's one of the things that irritates me about reading comics, is that if I'm reading one storyline, I want to get the whole story in one storyline. Like, the most recent one that I can think of is, like, Battle of the Atom was an X-Men story that if you weren't picking up all the X-Men titles, you weren't getting that story. You were just going to have parts of that story. Same thing, the Trial of Jean Grey, there's another one right there, where if you didn't pick up every single one of those, you didn't get that whole story. And I think that's, you know, that was the mistake that I think Marvel is doing by doing the TV shows like this. Because I like I said, it starts off that way where if you don't, you can get the whole story just by watching the TV show, but it's better if you get the whole thing.
Bear in mind, though, the people running the TV shows are not the people running the comics.
Well, no, I know, but...
Well, yeah.
But it's still that same feeling to me, and I don't want to go through that. Like, I have problems enough doing that with comics. I don't want to say I'm a poor person. $3 is a lot of money. That gets me a meal. So it's one of those things where it's like, I don't want to have, you know, if I go to the movies, it's a special thing. It's a treat, because going to the movies means I'm automatically dropping $20.
Oh, so, at least.
It's very, to me, that's one of those ways that it's like, just put the whole thing in one platform, you know, and if you get to, and, like, yeah.
So you're saying you're fine if all the DC shows mix, just as long as they don't mix with the films. You want those separated.
Right, and it's the same thing with Marvel. If the Marvel shows want to mix, like Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they want to mix, fine. Totally fine. But I don't want to have to go see a movie to understand what's happening on the other things.
Well, that being said, I mean,
I like the fact
they did it, but they didn't make it. You didn't have to see Captain America. The problem was it just kind of spoils part of the end of Captain America if you watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. first. They should have put like a 2-week hiatus in there and said, we'll come back after Captain America's been out for a little while, something like that. This is something completely new. No one else has really done this mixing of TV and movies before. Like, they sort of tried to do it with The Matrix by doing the Animatrix animated movie tie-in and things like that, but Marvel...
I love the integration. I love that there wasn't a delay. I love that if you went out and saw Captain America Friday night and then saw Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Tuesday, the storyline perfectly rolled together.
Yeah, I mean, from a fan standpoint, I enjoyed it, but I can understand where some people aren't in a position to be able to enjoy it like that.
Dollar cost of it is understandable, but yeah, people that... I don't understand why people are against the integration part of it, because I thought it made for a fun story.
I did too. It's something brilliant, novel, and new that no one else is pulling off. That's why I enjoyed it.
I'm sure that there is an enjoyment factor to it, but like for the casual fan or for people who just don't like going to the movies. I know a ton of people who don't like going to the movies between kids and people talking, and you know, I know people who don't like going just because of the smell, like.
Wow, and I thought I had reasons to not go to the theater. I don't know if I've ever been offended by the smell at the theater. Jeez.
No, like the smell, the popcorn breath smell. Like, I understand it. I think that that smell is disgusting. It makes me want to vomit. But
popcorn.
But it's... Like, I know so many people who don't like going to the movies that it's like... And so they wind up having to pirate because they don't want to go to the movies.
No, that's a bullshit reason to pirate. I'm sorry.
Well, no, they don't want to spend...
Yeah, that's a different argument.
$20 to go to something that they don't enjoy doing so that they can get a full story.
So then they pirate it? That doesn't make it right.
Well, I'm not saying pirating is right. I'm saying that that is a reason.
Well, you can't get around that then unless you say that I can buy the movie and watch it in my own house when it comes to the theaters. I mean, there's no way around that. And the movie theater world hasn't changed that much.
I'm saying it's a reason. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying it's a reason.
It's a reason, not necessarily a good reason. We got a couple more hits in the chat room. Chris Hansen asked, wait, isn't that Black Dynamite? Basically, yes. In a nutshell, Black Dynamite kind of was Michael Jai White in an afro, but instead of yelling Sweet Christmas, he was yelling about Kung Fu Treachery!
Yes, pretty much. He's also said he wants Luke Cage to have a picture of his father rocking the afro and tiara.
Yeah, at least a reference to it. There's got to be a reference to that god-awful outfit. Because, you know, at some point somewhere, there was somebody wearing some shit like that in the 70s.
Even
you know
if
there
it's
was.
Like a throwaway joke, back, man, I can't believe I used to wear something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, and I did love when they updated Luke Cage, because it fucking made sense for him to not wear that goofy outfit anymore. But the idea that he used to wear it is so fucking cool.
Let's see, and then also in the chat room, which I just accidentally moved the wrong window, Draftsman said, Arrested Development is really good when you think about their setting up for a movie. And the fact also that these guys all have careers outside of Arrested Development, so they were only all together for like 2 days on set. They had to film everything.
Yeah, he also mentioned that they're basically the Marvel one-shots were backdoor pilots, which really they were.
Yeah, pretty much.
They were very small.
I never
small.
Saw any of them.
Oh, the Agent Carter one's great.
Yeah, so
it's
is
a
the
fantastic short film.
The Mandarin one's really good too.
Mandarin one's good. One of the earlier ones where I can't remember if it was on Thor or previous to Thor, but where Agent Coulson stops at a gas
store.
Station.
Yes.
The convenience store fight. That's a great one. And yeah, it's just like a little like 6 minute film, but it was you know superbly well made. And yeah, it might be something where between. You know, Doctor Strange and Ant-Man and Avengers 2 and frickin' Cap 3 and Daredevil and, you know, Jewel and frickin' Iron Fist and Power Man. They just have too much shit going on at Marvel Studios to need to be doing a one-shot right now, and that's why we didn't get one in Winter Soldier.
Yeah, that's entirely possible.
Because they might just be too fucking busy. They got too much shit.
Actually,
they got too many irons in the fire, man.
Conspiracy theory for what we might get instead? We'll get a preview for Avengers 2, maybe.
See, that would be awesome.
Because you got to think, Whedon has said they're halfway through filming.
Yeah, and I'm going to say it once again. Went to the theater this weekend. The wife's gone, so I can say it. I went and saw Godzilla by myself yesterday while she was at work. Sorry, honey. She works fucking weekends now. It's not my fault.
I'm going next
but
weekend
one,
to see more stuff.
It's creepy that in Godzilla, the Kick-Ass and the... Oh, shit, I can't think of her name. The chick that plays his wife in Godzilla are going to be the brother and sister duo of Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch in the Ultron.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Elizabeth, Olsen.
Yeah, the Olsen. Wait. It's not the Olsen twin. Yeah. They play husband and wife in Godzilla, and they play brother and sister in their next film together, which is creepy because in the Ultimate Universe,
yes.
They have a creepy, incestual relationship as brother and sister.
That makes me kind of worried. That guy's acting was not great in Godzilla.
He wasn't great, but I can't blame him. If you've seen The Savages, Aaron Taylor Johnson can fucking act.
Yeah.
Because I watched that movie in the theaters and got all the way home before I realized that was Kick-Ass. I didn't realize it was the same fucking kid. He can act, as long as he's got a really good director and a good script. So with Joss Whedon telling him what to do, and basically just telling him, hey, be an asshole. He's Quicksilver. All he has to do is be an asshole. As long as he's pissed off and mad at everybody, that's Pietro Maximoff, to a T.
And to be fair, Joss Whedon brings the best out of most people that come and work on his productions.
Exactly.
That's true, but I mean, he was an asshole in Godzilla.
I see, I haven't seen Godzilla yet.
But yeah, I mean, being all buffed up, he looks just like a big buff badass Quicksilver. So, I mean, he looks cool already. And yeah, I can't imagine it's that hard for most actors to just act like a prick. Because that's really the character of Pietro Maximoff. Is you're pissed because the rest of the world doesn't move as fast as you.
Yeah. So I got one last thing I wanted to mention before we start wrapping things up, because it goes back into Arrow, and maybe I can further entice Naki to start watching it. Is it Steve R. McQueen, I believe, is the actor's name. He's on The Vampire Diaries, has been saying he wants to play Nightwing forever and ever. And I guess he was at the LA Kings game with Stephen Amell this weekend, and he posted this nice picture of the two of them together at the Kings game. And you're like, okay, that's kind of cool. They're posting a picture until you read what the caption was, where it said he's posting to at Amell Adventures, which I assume is Stephen Amell, at LA Kings, and hashtags it Arrow, hashtag Nightwing, hashtag Go Kings. So is he saying he's Nightwing, or is he further petitioning? Because the dude looks like he could pull off a Nightwing.
I'm guessing petitioning.
I don't watch The Vampire Diaries, so I can't.
Yeah, I don't know him. I haven't seen him in anything besides that picture.
I don't know who he is, but I don't know if he's pretty enough to be Dick Grayson.
Fair enough. Dick Grayson does have to be the guy that gets all the girls.
He is man pretty.
He is he's a pretty man.
And Chris Hansen put in the chat room, the first time I saw them kiss in the Godzilla trailer, it hit me they were playing Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, and I just started going, oh god, the subtext! That's pretty much what I was thinking. I'm watching him like, oh man, it's Quicksilver kissing his sister. Creepy!
And then he also brought it before. Creepy. I kind of missed it. He goes, the problem with the Mandarin one-shot is we don't know if we'll get any sort of closure on it. We'll get it eventually.
That's true. It was kind of, an open-ended piece. But it was still really cool. Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, I went to the theater and I was going to say that it's Marvel 3 DC 0 still. You go to the theater and you can still see Captain America, Amazing Spider-Man, and X-Men are all in the theater, kicking ass, earning money. Where's DC at?
They're doing the Justice League prequel.
Uh-huh. Batman and 5 Superman. Put all your fucking eggs in that basket, because it's the only basket you got. They better not fuck it up.
I have a question, because I forget the ruling on this one. Can Magneto ever acknowledge Quicksilver as his son?
In the movies? Yes.
In the movie.
He could in the Fox universe. They couldn't do it in the Avengers, because then that would be basically stating that he's a mutant.
They hint at the fact that he is his Quicksilver's father in Days of Future Past.
Yeah, in Days of Future Past, which they can do it there because they're all mutants.
Right.
I don't think they could do it in Avengers 2, Age of Ultron, because they can't allude to the fact that he's a mutant, because they can't call anybody mutants in that world.
And they don't have the rights to Magneto in Avengers 2.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I was trying to...
They could mention something about Eric Lynshear or Magnus Maximoff. Like, they could mention a name, probably, and get away with it. But I don't think they could actually mention Magneto.
Okay, that's what I was trying to figure out, is, like, if they're ever going to... they obviously can't integrate the X-Men and the Avengers universe, but...
But they can, X-Men they could, and Fantastic Four, which is the rumor.
Right. But if they can mention that, you know, who his father is in some sort of way... So they could,
they could say it's Future Past, but yeah, they can't do it in the Avengers film because all of the mutant stuff is owned by 20th Century Fox.
Right. And
so do you think they'll still be brother and sister then?
They already pretty much said it, I think.
Did they?
Well, they showed them at the end of Captain America, and they're basically two...
The twins. He called them the twins.
Yeah, and he called them the twins.
So I know that they called them the Miracles.
Was it the Miracles? They called them
twins. I thought he called it the twins.
But yeah, I think we're going to get that they're related, but they're going to be experiments that Baron Von Zemo created. Like, they're two kids that he experimented on, and that's why they have superpowers. Because they're not going to be able to say that they're mutants.
I thought they said Miracles.
It's the Age of Miracles, but he refers to them as the twins, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Aha, you're both right.
Aha. Aha.
Yeah, and what Chris Hansen said to my question about where's DC is they're winning television, which he's right. Arrow is already the top. I mean, I do enjoy Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but Arrow is so much better. And with The Flash and iZombie coming out, DC might, you know, just have a fucking grip on the TV side of things. But it's going to be a question to, you know, when Netflix hits the fucking market with 4 new Marvel shows, I don't know if DC's going to be able to stand up to that. Arrow's good, but I don't know if it'll be, you know, Power Man and Iron Fist good.
I hope they all stand
that's
up.
That's Power and we Man get all, and Iron Fist Man.
I hope they're all good and we get all this great comic book content on TV, Netflix, and movies. I think that'd be fantastic. Everybody wins then. I don't think it's a matter of needing to win and lose, and I think if you're a fan, you win if they're all good.
Well, the thing is that, you know, the big problem that DC is going to have, you know, movie-wise, is that they're doing exactly what Anthony said, is they're putting all their eggs in one basket and not reaching out to their other characters. Like,
yep.
Everybody knows more than just Batman and Superman. Come
That's because the fear of God is in them, because Marvel built up this movie dynamo, for lack of a better term, by doing things the right way and establishing characters individually and then giving you the payoff 3 years later when they all get together on screen.
When DC's dealing with Warner Brothers executives going, you know, I don't think Joss Whedon can do a Wonder Woman film. Let's cancel that project and do something else.
Yeah, and then he goes to do the Avengers.
Yep. They don't have the right people at Warner Brothers to make the right choices, to take the right chances.
And I don't know that
the people at Marvel had the balls to do it, and Disney threw the money at him and said, hey, go nuts.
And I'm not sure that Zack Snyder's the right person for a team-up film of superheroes.
We're going to find out. Hey,
he's already been confirmed for Justice League.
I love The Watchmen.
But that's true.
Also, remember Sucker Punch.
Remember, Watchmen had a predefined story
Sucker
you had
Punch
to follow.
Was a little rapey, but it was a really... It was a really good-looking movie.
It was horrible. Come on now.
It was pretty as hell.
Because you had
Sucker
models.
Sucker Punch was the Jared Leto of films.
No,
it was very, very pretty.
You had models who can't act.
If anybody went into Sucker Punch looking for great acting, that's their own fault.
I didn't know what I was looking at the whole movie. I was just like. There's some things happening.
I saw the trailer, so I knew exactly what I was going in for. A little TNA and some jumping around and some ninja shit and some action and some blowing stuff up. I knew exactly what I was getting.
I went blindly. I didn't know what was happening.
Chris Hansen's also brought up another good point. He goes, Zack Snyder being given the helm on all their movies pretty much makes me sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't think he's the right pick.
Well, and whether he is or not, where's, like, the other two, three guys directing other DC films? That's the difference.
Well, I mean, it's the whole thing we talked about before. Everything's in one basket. Like, we got this guy, he did an okay Superman movie. Let's give him everything now. Because
Nolan's gone, and now they've got nothing. Because, yeah, whether you love him or hate him, Joss Whedon's got Avengers. But Joss Whedon isn't also doing the Strange film and the Ant-Man film and the working on the TV shows. Like, he's doing his one thing. And, okay, that's fine, and let's go get some other directors to work on this project and this project. Like, Marvel's, you know, they're spreading out their universe and they just keep making it and growing it. DC is actually, I mean, at this point, they've shrunk theirs down to one film.
It's their,
that makes no sense
to me. Their goal is to do this one film to establish everything, to then branch out into multiple films. Like, oh, you saw Wonder Woman for 5 minutes in Batman v Superman. Now she gets her own movie, because you'll love it all in 5 minutes.
Yeah, they're going to do a reverse Marvel Phase 1, and I sadly think it's going to fail hugely because they're doing it backwards.
I don't think Batman v Superman will fail. That one that people will watch because Batman and Superman. But what you do after that...
It'll make money. Doesn't mean it'll be great, but it'll make money. It'll make $800 million easy.
They just need it to be an average film. That's all they need. Chris is continuing. He goes, I've liked Zack Snyder movie until I finished them. Then I realized how bullshit they are. And he also says, DC took all the wrong lessons out of the Dark Knight trilogy. And I'm assuming he's writing more on that as we speak.
Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, we're going to get... Yeah, the dark brooding everything. Apparently some executive at Warner Brothers thinks, oh, as long as it's dark and brooding, it'll be amazing. No, certain characters don't work that way. Superman should never be dark and fucking brooding. He's the big blue Boy Scout for a reason.
I was going to say, Superman's a big fucking Boy Scout.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Emo Superman in the Collateral Damage film, I mean, there's problems with it.
Well,
I still love it. I own it. I'll go watch it again, but there are problems with it.
Nope.
While Chris is typing up the last bit of his stuff on the Dark Knight trilogy, Draftsman did say, I would love to see Marvel do a good animated series. The problem is they did, and they canceled it. It's called Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yeah.
And it's called Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, and the problem is that I believe all those contracts were signed, and then a year later Disney bought them, and so Disney had to not renew any of those contracts because they wanted to bring in their own animators. And yeah, so then we sadly get the end of the best Marvel animated show probably since the X-Men in the 90s, which was Earth's Mightiest Heroes. That show is fantastic. I think it's still on Netflix. Anybody who hasn't seen it, must go watch it. It is the best done comic book based cartoon probably ever.
So Chris continued, based off of DC taking all the wrong lessons out of the Dark Knight trilogy, goes, Green Lantern was bright and colorful and failed. Dark Knight was dark and edgy, and it was successful. Superman should be out in the sun, inspiring and smiling.
Yep. And Green Lantern didn't fail because it was bright and colorful. Green Lantern failed because the people in charge of that film didn't understand the character and didn't understand what they were referencing.
Well, and I see he's saying that from the Warner Brothers point of view. That's how they're saying, like, not how he's
saying. One was bright and shiny and didn't work, so we'll make everything dark and edgy because that makes us
million. It doesn't help that it was miscast also.
Yeah, well, Ryan Reynolds was perfect as Kyle Rayner. He wasn't fucking Hal Jordan. They named him Hal Jordan, and he was playing the wrong character. Yeah, he was Wally West. He was Kyle Rayner. Either way, he wasn't Hal Jordan.
Nathan Dressman's the same. He goes, I watched Sucker Punch, and I like the pretty stuff on screen, but I still do not know what I watched.
Yeah, and as bad as it is, Sucker Punch is still a little confusing, because there's about 9 different ways you can interpret the end of that movie. And they're all bad and rapey, but it still looked really good.
But looking at things, we are running late, so let's wrap things up real quick. We'll just wrap up real quick. What have you guys been getting into? What are you getting into? And we'll start with Naki.
I started playing Clash of Clans due to my boss yelling at me that I had to start playing Clash of Clans. So I'm now playing that. And I'm reading Small Favor, the Book of the Dresden Files. Highly recommend it. You need to read Dresden Files. It's super good.
How about yourself, Anthony? What you been getting into? I'm assuming WildStar.
More comics, and yeah, WildStar, lots and lots of WildStar. The game actually went live Tuesday. I have one level 14 character, one level 12 character, and 2 more alts that I made just to grab the names. Me and my buddies all got our group going. We're getting ready to start our guild. It's the funnest game ever. I've got 3 guest passes, which, I don't know, I might raffle them off or something. I got to do something with them. Because basically all my friends that play MMOs are already in the game. My local friends here. So, yeah, I got to get got those 3 guest passes. I need to give them away to other people. But, yeah, it's a blast. The game is so much fun. They've already made a couple of patches. They've doubled some of their servers. I mean, like in Carbine and NCSoft, they're on the ball. With every time a problem pops up, they're right there to fix it. They're a great company for running an MMO. And, yeah, it's a $15 a month one. It's the old classic, you know, subscription service. But, I mean, they're already showing the next content patch that's coming out. And basically every month almost you're going to get a new patch that is going to show you where your $15 is going.
That's cool.
And it's fucking funny. I've never played an MMO that's so funny. I was playing it this morning for about 45 minutes, and I didn't have Netflix on. I wasn't listening to a podcast. I was actually listening to the voiceover shit, listening to the music in-game, and having a blast.
That's
which
cool.
I can't remember the last time I did that with an MMO, where I actually had the volume from the game on. Because usually, you know, you're multitasking, you're doing something else, whatever. But yeah, I was just listening to the actual sound effects and voices and the talking in the game, and it was fucking entertaining.
Well, that's cool. Myself, I've been playing Watch Dogs and Titanfall a good deal. And then yesterday afternoon, my package from LEGO arrived. And last night, I built the LEGO Ecto-1 Ghostbusters set. And it is fucking fantastic. I love it. It's going with my Back to the Future DeLorean because I can't get rid of it.
They just have to make a case of just all your 80s franchise LEGO cars.
Ooh, they need to make more of them.
Where's the Knight Rider? Knight Rider!
That would be fantastic. I love Kit. Now that I'm on that strange tangent. I want a Kit Kat. But I think that is going to wrap us up for this week. Did anyone have any parting thoughts they want to put out there before we close the show? Anyone? Going once?
ToeTagRiot.com.
Yeah, there you go. Go check out Toe Tag Riot. Awesome project. What are they up to now? I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't checked it today. They're doing good, but there's still time to go, and they still haven't met their goal, so... Everybody go check out ToeTagRiot.com for some funny-ass shit and some great artwork.
They have $8,681 out of 19 grand pledged with 13 days left as of recording this. So we got about 2 weeks.
Not quite to their halfway. Yep. Go back that sucker. It's beautimous. Beautimous!
It's an awesome project. Naki, you got anything you wanted to part with?
I'm watching Arrow. Stop yelling at me on Twitter, guys.
Yeah. No, keep yelling at her until she gets more watched.
Did you see Stephen Amell's workout videos that they put up? That dude is fucking crazy.
Yeah, that dude's insane. But you gotta admit, he loves playing that character.
And that's why he looks like a superhero.
Exactly. So I'll wrap with this parting thought. Make sure you join us every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, and all the other time zones you guys can do the math for over at live.atgnpodcast.com, where we will live stream this week's or the week's podcast before it is then put out as an MP3 for you to download. And also make sure you go and check out all the other great podcasts that are part of the Gunna Geek Network over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. We do have a new podcast. I want to give a quick shout-out to Voices of Defiance. If you're a Defiance fan, go check out that podcast. They're talking all about it right before Season 2 starts. So, I think that's going to wrap us up for this week, and we'll see you next week, guys. Bye.
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 Thanks for tuning in to this brand-new episode of All Things Good and Nerdy on the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. You can find ATG in a variety of places. Some of those include our website at atgnpodcast.com or on certain apps like Stitcher Radio. In fact, we're even on Gunna Geek's main website at gunnageek.com/network, where you can find all things good and nerdy and all of the other shows that are part of the Gunna Geek Network family. If you want to get in touch with the show directly, don't forget you can use any of the social media methods like Facebook at facebook.com/allthingsgoodnerdy or Twitter at ATGNpodcast. That's not your cup of tea for getting in touch with us. Don't forget about the ATGN hotline at 304-806-ATGN. We check it each week, so leave us a message and we'll get back to you and put it on the show. That's going to wrap up another episode of All Things Good and Nerdy. Join the Atahay, Naki, and myself next week for an all-new live show at 11 a.m. Eastern Time at live.atgnpodcast.com. The music you've heard for both the intro and outro of this show were found on SoundCloud.com and are used in accordance with the Creative Commons licenses. Leaving Earth by Abandon All Hope is used as the outro of this show, and The Wind Waker by the Neskimos is used as the intro and slightly modified in both cases. To get links directly to these songs, go to atgnpodcast.com and check out the background music section.